You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
The Podcast Playground.
Hooray! I'm Buzz Knight, and this is the Taking a Walk Music History on Foot podcast. Kindly follow us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever else you get your podcast. And if you want to leave us a review, that would be great as well. And please share this podcast with a friend. That would be really cool. Today, we speak with a founding member of a band that is celebrating five decades of work. Uriah Heep is a UK rock institution and a global institution, and they blazed a trail that intersected progressive hard rock, ultimately becoming heavy metal. And Mick Box is the distinguished lead guitarist from Uriah Heep. They've just released a new studio album called Chaos and Color. And welcome, Mick, to Taking a Walk. Mick, thank you for being on Taking a Walk. How does it feel releasing a new album in 2023?
It feels fantastic, I have to say. You know, it's our 25th album. We're 53 years young, and we're out there having the time of our lives, you know. So, very happy about it.
So let's talk about this Chaos and Color. First of all, where does the title come from, Chaos and Color, Mick?
Well, it's the title of the album that I got. You know, I gave the album that title simply because it was written in the chaotic times of the pandemic, and I firmly believe that, you know, through the difficult times that we all went through, I think music helped a lot of people through those times, and so the color is the music.
So, how long was this process of creating this new album? And maybe talk about it from the standpoint of, COVID and getting folks together and, you know, creating.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that we, you know, we were in that insecure time with COVID when you never knew when it was going to end or if it was ever going to end. And we were, you know, avidly watching the government's instructions to see when it would open up or if it would ever open up. And then when there was a hint of that, we decided as a band to start writing for the new album and do a new album. And so we all started getting ideas together. It was a bit different because normally, like, me and the keyboard player would get in the same room together and bounce off ideas. But we had to send it, you know, do it via FaceTime and Zoom and all those other mediums. So it was a very long-winded way of doing it. But, you know, nevertheless, we come up with the goods, which was good. And so we just waited until the government said, okay, we can all be in the same room together. And we organised it that we'd go in a studio and record the album. Well, we did. We got Jay Russin, our producer, who produced our previous album, Living the Dream, over from Los Angeles. He came in and we recorded it in 17 days. And even within that 17 days, we went off and headlined a festival on the Welsh Mountains called Steelhouse Festival. So, yeah, it was pretty hectic, but, you know, it was great fun. You know, the impetus of all being together, the band banter, and the fact that we're all playing together in the same room was an immense feeling.
So when did you first know that you were hooked as a musician?
I was 14 years old. And I went to see a band called Johnny Kidd and the Pirates that were an English band, and they had a hit with Shaking All Over with a great guitar riff. And I saw that, and I remember the guitar name. He was a great guitarist. He was like the guitarist at the time, if you like. And he was inspirational to me, you know. It resonated with me. The next band I saw was Them, who had Van Morrison singing with them, and they had another great guitar riff with Babe, Please Don't Go. So between those two, I was hooked and guitar bound, as they say.
Did anybody ever try to talk you out of it, like your parents or anybody else?
No, my father died when I was a very young lad, so my mother brought me up, and she was very supportive in every regard. Yeah, she couldn't have been more wonderful, to be honest.
Can you talk about some of the other influences that really impacted you early on?
Yes, I was very into jazz because my mother could afford a few guitar lessons for me. And the guitar teacher in the East End of London where I was living, he used to be the second guitarist to Django Reinhardt, then the great jazzist. So all my early learnings were leaning towards jazz guitarists. So, you know, I used to listen to Les Paul, Mary Ford, and Barney Kessel, and Tal Farlow, and all those type players, you know. And then my love sort of for music grew out of that and into more rocky stuff with Eddie Cochran and Buddy Holly and people like that until we got into the 70s, and then it was all hell let loose with, you know, Uriah Heep, Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, and Deep Purple.
I mean, you guys were at the intersection and creation of so many sounds, from the sort of a progressive rock sound then to a harder rock sound, which would ultimately then sort of turn kind of metal. I mean, how does it feel to have such an influence on genres of music?
I think it feels wonderful, you know, and that we had that sort of impact. Because at the time we were writing the book without knowing it, if you like, and pioneers of classic rock music as we know it today. It was an exciting time, and I have to say, the things that are missing in today with musicians is the individuality. And I can only explain that very briefly, that, you know, with Deep Purple, I never played guitar like Richie didn't play like me, we didn't play like Tony Iommi, you know, nobody played like Jimmy Page, and that went for all the, you know, musicians, the bass players, drummers, singers, keyboard players, everyone was an individual, and it was just some of those parts that gave each of those bands that particular flavour. And sound, if you like, and identity. And I think that's missing a bit today because everyone seems to be sounding alike, looking alike, and being alike.
And that creative period that you described there, I mean, were you guys obviously friendly but competitive with each other, with all the bands, you know, Deep Purple and Zeppelin? And
we were very friendly with all of them, you know. It was all a very healthy competitiveness, if you like, you know. There was nothing sinister about it at all. You know, everyone was just trying to, you know, make their own way in the world, you know, and getting on with life as you know it, you know. I mean, funny enough, in one of the rehearsal places we used to rehearse in London, which was called the Hamwell Community Centre in Acton, which wasn't really a rehearsal room, it was like a, you know, two big halls, and the one side of it was Deep Purple and the other side was Uriah Heep. So it was a hell of a racket going on that day.
Mick, how important is having a sense of humour in the business that you're in?
Oh, listen, when I talk to the guys and we're going out on tour, I say, the first thing you have to pack is your sense of humour. you know, and we're a band that survives on that. You know, we've got a lot of band banter and humour, and it does. It really helps you get through, you know, any difficult times that you may come across, of course.
So talk about evolution, especially up to this moment with, you know, the new album. Obviously, Uriah Heep will always have as its backbone, you know, that great Hammond organ and, you know, the guitar wah and all that. But talk about how a band evolves and how you guys have evolved up to the present.
Yeah, we went in the studio as a four-piece called Spice, and then we started hearing our songs back. And I decided that, you know, maybe a keyboard might embellish the songs and bring more out of them. And I was a big Hammond organ fan with Mark Stein of the Vanilla Fudge. And so the Hammond organ seemed to be the perfect instrument to cover all the genres of music that we were playing at the time. And, you know, because, you know, Hammond organ could be very, you know, very romantic, very gentle, very bluesy, very rocky, be very aggressive. You know, it could have everything that, you know, our music was saying at the time. So we got a keyboard player in called Ken Hensley. He joined us. And with that template of music changing, we decided to change our name, and we chose Uriah Heep because, you know, that was the... it was the 100th birthday of Charles Dickens at the time, and there was posters all over buses and films and BBC TV and radio and everything. And our manager took his two sons to see a film adaptation of one of Charles Dickens' novels called David Copperfield. And, of course, the character in that was this evil character called Uriah Heep. And he came back and suggested to us, because we're looking for a new name, and we thought, yeah, why not, you know, to take such a character from such a notable novelist as, you know, Charles Dickens was wonderful. So, and it stayed with us ever since, my friend.
I love it. It's so amazing. And I know you have a charity that's a cancer charity that's near and dear to you. Can you talk about that one?
Yes, certainly. It's the Nightingale Support Charity in London, in the UK, in the east end of London, where I live, North London, in fact, right now. And it started with, you know, I don't think anybody that I know hasn't been touched with that awful disease of cancer, so I felt I had to do something. And I started this thing on my website called The Shirt Off My Back. And the idea was that if I was wearing a shirt and I was on videos and, you know, the whole tour, and I'd auction it off at the end, to, you know, the highest bidder, and give the money to charity. Well, that kind of grew and grew. We outgrew that. It's guitars, wah-wah pedals, trousers, everything, you know, socks, you name it, shirts, all sorts of memorabilia and stuff like that, you know. And it raised a lot of money for a great cause, and I'm very happy to be able to give back like that.
That's so nice. So what's an average day like for you these days? I know you've got a dog and you take the dog for a walk. So what is a typical day for Mick?
Yeah, I've got an English setter called Domino, who's a scallywag, most beautiful dog. You know, we go out for a walk in the morning. Then I'll come back, probably have a cup of tea and a bit of breakfast, and then go out in my office. I may pick up the guitar and do some writing, or I'll have to take care of business with the emails like we all do, you know, to keep on top of things. I have a little sift around all the social media sites to see what's going on and see what people are writing about us, you know, and hopefully get, you know, reading all the reviews of the new album. And then back to the guitar and a bit more writing, and generally like that. And then I take the dog out again later on. And then my wife will come home from work, and we'll just have a nice family dinner. And that'll be the day.
Sounds like a beautiful day.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, being home is wonderful, you know, because pre-COVID, we used to go out, you know, tour in 62 countries around the world, so really used to get out there, you know, and so it's nice to, it's the perfect thing is to have the great balance between being out on tour and being home, you know. And I think when you come home, you take off your rock and roll hat and you put your family hat on, you know, and you immerse yourself in everything that they've been missing, which is great, and I love doing it.
So I know the band's going to go out on tour. I want to talk about that in a second. But some of the favorite gigs and lineups at these gigs that you've played over the years, I know festivals have been a big part of Uriah Heep, but who are some of the the great gigs and lineups and where?
You know, that's very difficult to say because we've done so many, you know. I think, you know, we did a tour of America with Judas Priest, which was fantastic. Great guys, you know, great camaraderie between us all. Plus the fact, you know, every night when you think about it, with their being 50 years old, us being 50 years old, it was kind of like 100 years of rock and metal on the stage every night, you know, so it was really cool. But, you know, we've done so many tours. I mean, back in the early days, I think there's one special lineup that I really love citing, simply because in those days you didn't have the pigeonholes of touring where, you know, promoters now put three or four classic rock bands together, three or four metal bands together, three or four blues bands together. Back in those days, it was either good or bad music, you know, and that was the only dividing line. And one of the lineups that we did, there was us headlining, and supporting us was Earth, Wind & Fire, and underneath that was ZZ Top. So it just shows you how music has moved away from those good and bad days, and it's just, you know, each tour has its own genre, if you like, which is a shame to me because I used to like those crossover tours.
Yeah, I remember some of those lineups I used to observe at, like, the Fillmore East and the Fillmore West, and yeah, they were always, like, completely diverse, and they put a smile on your face because it was great music, right?
Yeah, I thought the diversity was a winner in every regard, you know, because you certainly weren't preaching to the converted, were you? You know, you had a partial audience there. You've got to, you know, convince to come on your side, and I think that was all very, very healthy.
So you guys are going to go out and do some touring, and it will include some festivals in support of the new release, Chaos and Color, right?
Yeah, 100%. You know, they're formulating all our festivals, summer festivals in Europe, and then we'll start the proper long touring, hopefully through Europe and through USA and Canada. Prior to that, though, me and Bernie, our singer, we're going out in April with a thing called Rock Meets Classic that only happens in Germany, but it's with a 40-piece orchestra, and that's great fun. We do three or four songs. I think that the Joey Tempest from Europe does a few, Dee Snider from Twisted Sister does a few, and it's a great, great, great night out, you know, and so that'll be a bit of fun before we hit the festivals and then start the serious touring for Chaos and Colour.
Well, I want to congratulate you on Chaos and Color. It's a great accomplishment. It's an uplifting and motivating sound. And you are uplifting and motivating by your energy, sir. And I'm grateful that you took the time to be on Taking a Walk.
Well, thank you very much, my friend. I much appreciate that, you know, and long may we last.
Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.